الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Inshallah we'll be covering the 22nd hijjah today. Remember yesterday we ended off by talking how the prophets' wives, if they were to come with some type of open indecency, that they would be in receipt of double the punishment. In the same way, we're told at the beginning of this just that if they are obedient and they turn to the right way, that they will have double reward. And this is sort of a concept that exists within the deen, that not everyone is graded on the same scale. So if you have, for example, more skills, then more is expected of you as well. And if you have less means, for example, say you only have $5 and you give $1 from that, I mean, that's a big deal. That's still 20%. So al-jaza'u bi qadri al-bala, that the reward of things are commensurate to the amount of difficulty that is entailed. In any case, next, women are told not to be soft and flirtatious in their speech, and told to stay at home unless there's some purpose to go out. And that they should, and this is particularly with being addressed to the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, although the meaning is general, and that they should engage in ibadah and follow the Quran and the Sunnah, and that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desired to purify the family of the Prophet ﷺ, the Ahlul Bayt. And then it goes on to mention about the position of men and women in Islam, and it basically mentions different categories of individuals who will have a great reward, and it sort of in an atypical fashion, because usually when the male tense is used, the women are included in that. But over here, they're both mentioned ala hida, you know, distinctly, like innal muslimina wal muslimat, the Muslim men and the Muslim women, and the obedient men and the obedient women, and the ones who give in sadaqah, and the ones who are humble, and the ones who fast, and the ones who do zikr, and the ones who guard their private parts. These people are the ones who are going to have the forgiveness from their Lord and a great reward. Then the believers are told that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger make a choice that or decide something, that we should not have a choice after that. We should really just submit. And so whatever the rules of Islam are, there's nothing to be said after that. Then we're told about the marriage of the Prophet ﷺ to Zainab alayhi salam, I mean Zainab radiallahu anhu, who was married to his adopted son, quote-unquote adopted son, Zayd radiallahu anhu. So after Zayd radiallahu anhu divorced Zainab radiallahu anhu, then the Prophet ﷺ got married to her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who did their nikah. And this was a social taboo in that time that Islam broke, because we also talked about yesterday how Islam came about to abolish the tradition of full adoption, in the sense that the child was now attributed to the adopted parent. Then we're told how the Prophet ﷺ is the final messenger, and he was the seal of their prophethoods, Khatim al-Nabiyyin. And then we're told to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will praise the good believers in front of the angels. And on the day that we meet him, one of the great is that he, tahiyyatuhum yawma yalqawnahu salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say salam to them. And who is this prophet? He is, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshira. He is a giver of glad tidings, and he is a warner. And he is the one who calls to God, and he is an illuminating lamp. And then we're told about some of the rulings of, with regards to marriage, and particularly with regards to the marriages of the Prophet ﷺ. The first is just sort of a general principle that if a woman is divorced before the marriage is consummated, then there's no waiting period on the woman. And then we're told that the Prophet ﷺ can marry women whom he has given mahr to, but in list different categories of women. But then it also says that if a woman offers herself to marry the Prophet ﷺ, and there was an example of this that happened historically, more than one example. One example that comes to mind, and she wanted to marry him without giving any dowry, then this would be permissible for the Prophet ﷺ. And also that he did not have to divide his time equally amongst his wives. And the reason that this was lifted is that after this, when the Prophet ﷺ showed so much equity, then the wives would understand that this was not something that was enforced on the Prophet ﷺ. It was something that he was doing out of his good character, out of his own favor and his fairness. And also, I remember yesterday we talked about how the wives were given a choice, that they could either go towards the dunya and they would be left let to go in a beautiful manner, or they could stay with the Prophet ﷺ. And when every single one of them chose the Prophet ﷺ, even though that meant living through difficulty and living through the trials and tribulations. I mean, it's not easy. You ask the wife of a sheikh, this is not easy being married to a sheikh. Imagine being married to the Prophet ﷺ. So when they made that sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also honored them and honored that sacrifice and said that that your marriage is restricted only to these women. And then this restriction, even though afterwards it was lifted, he didn't take any wife after that. And the idea here, again, was to show that it wasn't that Rasulullah was forced to only stay with these wives, but it was his favor that he remained with them. Then we taught some adab, and particularly the Sahaba, that you should take permission to enter the house of the Prophet ﷺ and come when you're invited for food and then leave when you're done, instead of staying afterwards and chatting away and inconveniencing the Prophet ﷺ, because he used to be too shy to ask or say anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that, the adab of that, on behalf of the Prophet ﷺ. And then we're told to ask the wives, the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, behind the hijab, and that no one can marry his wives afterwards, because we covered yesterday that they're the mothers of the believers. And the women are instructed not to open their beauty to those who are not relatives, meaning those who are non-mahrams. Then we come to the very famous ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَتُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels send salat on the Prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending salat means his mercy is going on the Prophet. The angels sending salat refers to their forgiveness. And us sending salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to us sending blessings on him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to tell the believing women to wear their jilbab. And the way that this was interpreted by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was mufassil al-Qur'an, is that women should cover their faces. One of the reasons for this is being given is that they should make themselves distinct as women of honor, that they weren't like the loose women of the Jahiliyyah, and they're not like the low women who were slaves who would just show their beauty, but they had a high status, and so that no harm can come to them. I mean, when you have one in every three women in this country who are molested in some fashion or sexually assaulted, I mean, that's not normal. That's فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنِ, the Quran says. So that this is not for anything but for, I mean, not for anything, but this is all for your protection and for your benefit. And then the warning comes to the munafiqeen that they will be overcome and they will be kicked out of Medina, and that, you know, they will be killed, and this is how such people were dealt with in the past who engaged in treason. And then they ask, these people ask about the hour. And the reply that's given to them is that Jahannam is for the kuffar. And that day, you know, there's this whole thing that they're trying to, you know, they act very haughtily and say, oh, when is this hour, when is this hour? When it comes, they're the ones who are going to be begging, and they're the ones who are going to wish that they could have followed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet. And they're going to blame their leaders and the very people that they followed. They're going to ask for double punishment on them. And then we're told not to be like Bani Israel was to Musa alayhi salam, causing him pain and hurt. And that we should have taqwa, that we should speak the truth. And then the idea of free will is discussed, how it's offered to other creations and they didn't accept it, but man accepted it. And based on that, that's why we're going to be recompensed. Next, we start Surah Al-Saba. It starts with praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to whom everything belongs, and he knows everything in the universe. And these people say the final hour will not come, but Allah will surely bring it. And nothing escapes him. So he knows everything, little thing that's going to go on. So he's going to give people their jaza or their recompense accordingly. And some people, they believe with the Prophet ﷺ, and other people are just shocked at the idea of how we can be so dispersed and scattered and, in the ground, and we'll just be in pieces. And how can we be brought back to life again, basically dissolved into earth? And they would say, is he crazy or is he lying? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refused them. And he says, no, if he wanted, he could have bring the punishment from above them or from below them. Then we're told about Dawood alayhi salam and how the mountains and the birds used to join in dhikr with him, and he had a very beautiful voice. And we're told about Sulaiman alayhi salam, that the wind would carry his carpet and the jinns would work for him. And they say, I'malu ala da, and to thank, O family of Dawood, by doing good deeds. And this is one way that you can show thanks, which is by not necessarily just saying Alhamdulillah or thank you Allah, but by through your action. And when this came, Dawood alayhi salam said, how can I thank you when the tawfiq to even thank you itself is a blessing? And so it becomes circular. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded by telling him that now you have truly thanked me. And then talks about the death of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he was actually on a staff. And he remained on the staff for a while until like some type of worm came, and after a long time it ate through the stick and he fell down. And the jinns were still scared of him, so they kept on working. And the reason this is being brought forth is that many of these people, they worship the shayateen. So the shayateen, they don't know the unseen. They couldn't even figure out if Sulaiman alayhi salam had died. So in the same way that we don't know the unseen, they don't know the unseen either. So why are you going around worshipping these false gods? Then we're told about the story of the Saba or Sheba. And these were the kings of Yemen. And we had this a couple of days ago about the queen of Sheba. And these people had a lot of wealth and gardens. But when they turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually sent large rats to come and destroy the dam. And then a flood came out and basically destroyed their gardens. And these were people who were very ungrateful. I mean, they had so much provisions that, even if they were traveling from one town to another, if they had to stop along the way, they didn't even have to worry about carrying their provisions with them. But they failed to appreciate those blessings, and they wanted to carry provisions with them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them scattered, and now they're just stories and tales that people talk about, or think of the past. And these are people who follow shayateen. In the day of Qiyamah, people will be these disbelievers are going to be called to call their partners who are absolutely powerless, and they won't be able to intercede. And we're exposed to the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will settle the matter of who's truly guided, the believers or the non-believers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a warner and a giver of glad tidings. And when they ask you, when is the hour? When the hour comes, you can't delay it. And they say, but these people are so stubborn, they say they won't believe. And then we're told that, if you could just see what their situation is when they're in the hellfire, and then those who are in power and those who are weak and used to follow them, how they'll be blaming each other and throwing each other under the bus. And usually it's the rich people who are the ones who disbelieve, and they feel that they, because they're rich, they have impunity and they won't be punished. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives. And money doesn't bring you close to Allah, but it's your amal or your deeds that bring you close to Him. So whatever you spend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will follow it up. And in the hereafter, people will deny their false gods when they're questioned. They're like, no, we didn't worship them, because, what other recourse will they have on that day? And no one can help anyone on that day. And then we're told about how the disbelievers make various refutations, such as, you're stopping us away from the way of our forefathers. You're lying. You're performing magic. So they make all these different excuses of or reasons or rationale not to believe. It's not that, in their mind, they might actually even think that they're right. And we've seen that before. Fara'ahu husna, they actually think that they're on the truth, but they're not. And it's funny because these are the same people who are waiting for a messenger to come to them, but when he did, they rejected him. This is the same way that people acted in the past. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told to ask them, just come on, be honest. Am I really crazy? I'm not even looking for worldly grain. I grew up in front of you. I mean, you really think that? And then we're told that the truth has truly come. And Rasulullah says, if he's misguided, then his misguidance is on him. And if he's guided, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we're told if you could see them in the hereafter when they're terrified, and the time they will be, that time they're going to be ready to believe, but it'll be too late. And then there will be a veil that will be put between them and that which they used to desire, both in this world and in the hereafter. And these are people, who don't believe, they're actually mired in doubt. Now it begins with Al-Fatir, and this begins with praise being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the universe and the angels, and that if he wants to give something to someone, no one can hold it back. And if he holds it back, no one can give it to him. So we should remember the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're told not to be, And if they don't answer the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, they didn't answer the other prophets also that came before them. And so don't be deluded by this world, and don't be deluded and tricked by the shayateen. The people who disbelieve, they'll be punished, and the people who believe, they will be forgiven. And the problem is that, I just talked about this, that the people who disbelieve, their actions actually look good to them. And so the Prophet is told, don't kill yourself over them. You know, guidance is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. And honor is entirely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should remember that when doing, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're doing good deeds, because these are going to be raised to Him. Then we're told how He created everything from dirt, and that everything that will happen to us is known to Him and preordained. And then He talks about His various, you know, His power, and how He made salt water and fresh water, and the benefits that those bring, and how He enters the night into the day and subjugated the sun and the moon. And if you call these people to guidance, they don't accept. And then after this, we're told how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so ghani. Ya ayyuha an-nas wa antumul fuqara wallahu ghaniyyun hamid. You are poor. Allah is rich, and He doesn't need us in the least. And by us worshipping Him, it doesn't raise His majesty. All honors for Him anyway. And He can replace us at any time. And no one will carry anyone else's weight. And so if we do good deeds, that's for our own benefit. And then we're told how the person who has sight and the person who's blind, how light and dark, how shadow and heat, how the living and the dead, none of these are equal. And that the Prophet is just a warner. And if they deny you, then they've done the same thing to those who came before you. So don't take it personally, so to speak. And this was a consolation for the Prophet. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how He's the one who sends down the rain, and He brings out the fruits of different colors, and He's also created mountains in various colors. And similar is the difference of colors amongst different human beings and the animals, and that He's so powerful. And because the people who truly fear Him are the scholars, and you know, the righteous will engage in worship. Those who do that, they're engaging in a business that will not fail. And this ummah, we've inherited all the books from before, and that basically that there's three types of people. The first type of the one who does some bad, who leaves some of the obligatory actions and does some of the forbidden things. So they do some bad things. The second type is the moderate person who does all the obligations, but he doesn't do all the extra good deeds. And sometimes he does some makruh things as well. And then the third person is the sabiqun bil khairat, the one who excels in doing good deeds. So the first group, they're forgiven because of their iman. The second group will have an easy accounting. And the third one will enter into paradise without account at all. And they will have, you know, jewelry of gold and pearls and clothing of silk. And sadness will be removed. They're not going to get bored. They're not going to get tired. And at the same time, you have the people in the hellfire who are not going to be able to even die. They won't wish that they could die, but they're going to keep on getting punishment. And they'll be crying, and they'll be told, basically, like, we told you so. And then we're told that there are generations on the earth, and if people disbelieve, then it's against them, and it angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the partners that people make with Allah haven't created anything. And it's not like they have some type of permit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make up these co-gods. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's holding up the heavens and the earth. Obviously, their partners don't do that. And these are the people that swore if a warner came to them that they would be the most guided people. But when they came, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they ran away. And this is because of their evil planning and their arrogance. And look at what happened to the people before. They were destroyed, and they were even more stronger than you. And they couldn't stop Allah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to take people immediately for their zulm, then no one would be left on earth. But He gives them to a point of time. And then we start Surah Yasin, the last page of the Juz. That first it affirms that the Prophet is truly the Prophet, Prophet of Allah, and that he's been given a revelation to warn others, and how the people who don't listen to him are just confused, and they're prevented from the truth. And because of that, it doesn't matter if you warn them or not. Those people who benefit from the warning are the people who have some fear of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us and everything will be preserved in a record. Next, we're told about the people of a town who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two messengers to, but they denied them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a third one. And their big problem with them is that, well, you're just a human being like us, so why should we follow you? And they said that, no, you guys are lying. And their response was that, you know, alayhim as-salam, that our job is only to convey. And then they said, oh, no, you're bad luck. And, you know, you're bad luck for us. And then basically harm you or we're going to, you know, stone you. And they said, that's just something that you know, we're just telling you to do the right thing. That whole, you know, bad luck thing is something that you're making up in your mind. And then a man comes who was righteous and had fitrat-e salima, and he comes and gives them advice that you should follow the prophets. And if you do so, you'll be guided. Allah also grant us hidayah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.